You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome once again to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, April the 15th, and as you've probably already guessed, I am not Sven Longshanks. It's Grandpa Dan. You know, if I'm doing the intro, that can mean only one thing. It is a solo with yours truly today. Sven couldn't make it once again, and I came in clutch. You know, I'm all about coming in clutch for my homies. You know, I'm all about that. You get the show. The show must go on. Hopefully, y'all's week has gone great. Hope you're looking forward to the weekend. Although, honestly, you know, I mean, it's... I think it's more rare that people aren't working on the weekend, you know, than not. I think that people now, it's like you're working all the time. But anyway, nonetheless, the weekend is always kind of like this waypoint. Hopefully you are off. Hopefully you're able to get out, enjoy yourself once again. As always, I'm going to sit here and we've got a new story to go through. And I've got another one in backup just in case. I don't think we'll get to it, though, today. For those of you who are regular listeners of my Parish of the Patriot show, which is on Tuesdays right here on Radio Albion, you need to check it out if you haven't already. Yes, that's the amount of advertising you get. Shamefully plugging my own show. But as those of you who are regular listeners to the show, I have no problem monologuing for an hour. No problem at all. But what I do have a problem with is monologuing for 30 minutes about a news story, because I don't do news stories on my regular show. And I get these stories and I think, 30 minutes? No sweat. Well, it's no sweat when Sven is here, but when I'm flying solo, I always have a hard time judging how long. You know, I get a story. If I'm doing one of these solo, I'll get a story and I'll think, man, I'm going to have a hard time making it fit in 30 minutes because this is going to be so good. And I'm like 15 minutes in and I'm looking for something else. Looking for something else to talk about. Do got a story though this week I wanted to get into. And, for background content, the reason I picked this story is fresh up on my mind. Cause like for me here, my quote unquote local news, and by local news, I mean broadcast TV. I don't understand how anybody pays for American TV. I got an antenna. I get my shit for free. Broadcast TV, local news for me is the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I get Dallas local news and it's always very spicy in the criminal report. Just hear recent happenings in Dallas. They had a shooting in the Deep Ellum area. They had gunshots rang out in the Deep Ellum area. Deep Ellum area is one of those places, you know, downtown where they've like remodeled it. And it's where like hipsters have their, you know, tattoo parlors and stuff like that, you know. And of course, you know, then let's see here. They had a concert, an outdoor concert recently, a concert. And gunshots broke out. 11 people were shot. Several weeks prior to that, 10 people were shot during a spring break party at like 2 o'clock in the morning when a man wanted to enter and security wouldn't let him because they wanted to take his gun away from him. They'd be disrespecting him. Now, you don't have to go out on a limb to figure out what the common denominator in every one of these incidents actually is. But as today's story would testify to, you see, you're not allowed to notice what the common denominator is. There is a program in place to dissuade you from noticing. The California woman dubbed Soho Karen, after she wrongfully accused a black teenager of stealing her cell phone in New York City, has pleaded guilty to a hate crime charge, officials said Monday. Maya Ponsetto, 23, has admitted to unlawful imprisonment as a hate crime, but can plead again and have the charge reduced to misdemeanor aggravated harassment if she steers clear of any trouble for 2 years, Manhattan prosecutors say. Well, yes, I hope she's able to steer clear of any trouble. She's obviously a big troublemaker. It's amazing to me to watch the local news. And you have all this violent crime. And it doesn't matter if your local news is any sort of city, anywhere in the U.S. The violent crime violent crime segments, you know, where they report on crime and police are looking for suspects. And it doesn't take a lot of pattern recognition to start putting these things together. As a result, this woman, she I don't know anything about this woman. She's probably a shit-lib. But her subconscious has put the pattern together. So when she assumed someone stole her high-dollar phone, you know, it's not like it was some flip phone or something. Her pattern recognition and her subconscious kicked in, and she's like, I'm just going to guess who it was. Now, she was wrong. In a normal non-clown world society, you know, she would be embarrassed. She would apologize. Apologies would be accepted or not. And everybody would move on. Instead, here we are all this time later. And who knows how much money spent. As if New York City doesn't have a violent crime problem, but the prosecutors are busy spending money, time, resources on what? Tracking this woman down and making her plead guilty to a hate crime over what amounts to, you know, an embarrassing misunderstanding. Oh, and I also love how the media likes to pretend like these people are, quote, she was dubbed Soho Karen. By who? By the media themselves. When was the last time the media dubbed a black person with some kind of, you know, offensive name? When was the last time, you know? The person involved, known as Tucson Tyrone, you know? The person involved, known as Seattle Shaquanda. No, the media would never do such a thing. Well, unless it's a white person involved. A lot of the media, they act like, oh, the name just came up organically because everybody was so offended by this woman having a misunderstanding. The media came up with this name so they could run with the story. A viral video, which just became viral, you know, totally organically. A viral video showed Ponsetto lunging at, tackling, and shouting at Keon Harrow Jr., then 14, whom she accused, with no evidence, of taking her iPhone. I love that, with no evidence. The media is constantly whipping out atrocity after atrocity blamed on Russia, with literally no evidence. And they state it as fact. The U.S. government accuses regimes that they don't like in the world of all sorts of things without evidence. How long have we been hearing about the poor oppressed Uyghurs in China? And we haven't seen a single video. We haven't seen any evidence of this at all. But it's just thrown out there. But you see, for Soho Karen, this is a real problem. She had no evidence. And we're supposed to believe that, you know, Keon Harrell Jr. 14 was like terrified because some lunatic woman is running at him. like he was really in danger because of this crazy woman. Now, like I said, in a non-clown world, look, she was wrong. You know, I mean, it would have been embarrassing. In a non-clown world society, she would have been embarrassed. She would have apologized, felt bad, you know, maybe bought their lunch or something. And it had been up to them whether they accepted her apology or not. Everybody would move on. But again, here we are, like, over a year later, and we're still talking about it. I was reminded of the story with the woman in the park walking her dogs, and she got into a confrontation with a black guy. And they named her Soho something. Something Karen. You know, she was Karen, too. This reinforces, you see, this is to reinforce and make you, you know, submit to the lot where you don't follow pattern recognition. This is to tell you, look, you might watch your local news and you might read government crime statistics and you might be putting it all together. But if you dare follow through, like, you know, by saying anything or altering your behavior, you see, you're going to get dubbed a quote-unquote something Karen and drugged through the dirt by the media and called a racist and charged with a hate crime. Charged with a hate crime, and your life will be ruined. So you better just go out there and, you know, don't use pattern recognition and probably put yourself in danger by not doing so. Or else we're going to call you names. Now, that's what it comes down to. You know, you go, some woman's walking alone down the street, and she sees a group of quote-unquote teens, and her instinct might be, hey, I'm going to veer off of the street, go into this fairly crowded store until these guys go by, because my instinct is telling me something bad could happen. But you see, now this is to beat that in. No, 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 wait, what am I doing? I'm being a Karen. I'm being a racist. Better not do that. I will go walk right through the middle of them and greet them and say, good evening, fine young men. And just gamble on. And if she gambles wrong and she guesses wrong and something really bad happens, I can assure you that nobody involved is going to be charged with a hate crime. The incident took place December 26, 2020, and yes, we're still talking about it, in the lobby of Arlo Soho, an upscale boutique hotel, with a teenager and his father, Keon Harold, a jazz musician, were guests. It was later discovered that Ponsetto, who is white, left her phone in an Uber vehicle, and the device was returned to her. The incident has been held up as a symbol of racial profiling. Racial profiling, also known as, once again, as pattern recognition. Known as pattern recognition. Again, this should have just been a nothing incident. You know, just she could have been embarrassed, apologized. I just love it how the media, always, you always know, and I know this gets pointed out, but still, it needs to be pointed out. You say, I wouldn't have a problem with the media. It's so ridiculous and absurd. We just had a shooting this week in New York City in the subway, and on made national news, mass shooting on the subway. And on the national news, they said, the suspect is described as a dark-skinned man. Just wait around. See the picture? It's a brother again. A dark-skinned man. They didn't say he's black. It's a dark-skinned. I'm surprised they didn't say dark-skinned. A very well-tanned white guy. A very well-tanned white supremacist. This reminds me of, you know, remember the Asian hate crime hoax? Remember that narrative? Well, let's say it's a hoax. It's not really a hoax. But you remember the failed Asian hate crime narrative and how that just disappeared? Remember that one? Oh, yes, Asians are being targeted for hate crimes across the country. And the media all in trying to imply that evil white supremacists were going around and attacking Asian people. And then the media, and then the police got word of the narrative. They got the memo on the narrative, and they're like, okay, no problem. Yes, we do have a lot of incidents of Asian people being attacked. Here, we're going to start releasing suspect footage, you know, surveillance footage and suspects, pictures of the suspects who are targeting and attacking the Asian community. And virtually every single one of them was black. And then it got so absurd. It got to the point. I remember some Asian woman, I think she was from Taiwan or some shit, you know. She wrote an article saying, look, Asian people, my fellow, hello, my fellow Asian people, even though it's all black people attacking you and bashing your skulls in, it's, don't blame them. It's because of white supremacy. That's why they're doing this to you, is because of, the narrative was soon dropped because it was so stupid. You know, Asian people apparently had enough sense. They were like, well, that doesn't make any sense. No, it's the BRACs attacking us. It's the BRACs attacking us. You can say white people. No, it's all BRACs. We know it's the BRACs. And it just went away. And everybody didn't even notice. One thing that's been amazing because of mass media, because our brains are not built, we're not designed mentally for this. So we're subjected to something foreign to us. Because of mass media, the people have been conditioned. They just go from one thing to another to another to another. We had like, what, 2 years, basically, of being beaten over the head with the deadly doom virus that you don't see any evidence of around you. We went from that to, flip the switch, Ukraine. And it's like, poof, everybody's fine with it. And when the Ukraine fizzles out, if they go back to doom virus or go to some other new hoax or whatever, everybody will just go. They'll just roll with it, whatever they're told right now. Whatever's on the 24-hour news networks right now, that's what they'll just switch right over to. They whipped out the Asian hate crime narrative, ran with it for a couple of weeks after it imploded because it was just so stupid. They couldn't sit here and say all these Asian people are attacked and then release footage. And every single time it's black people. So they had to dump that one, and then just everybody just rolled with it. Everybody just kept moving right along. But now the media always makes it a point. And if the media had like a blanket policy, like, look, we'd never mention race in a story, it would still be stupid and absurd, but at least you could say, well, that's their policy, and it makes sense. But they don't. They don't. They will never, ever, ever say the suspect is a black man. They will never, ever, ever do that. But you notice, like with this story, they make it a point to say, she is white. And even in words, you can tell, even in printed media form, you can tell the contempt dripping from the article. She is white. And we talk a lot about, we talk a lot about the anti-white race hate agenda. Hey, all normies listen to that, hear that, and they probably are tempted to brush it off. Be like, oh, you're being up at the top. I can hear a normie con right now going, oh, they're just liberals. They're just silly and misguided. You know, they're just childish, you know? They're just kind of childish, but they're kind of really harmless. These liberals, they're just kind of harmless. They just don't know any better. But you know what? When they get older, they're going to become conservatives. They're going to be conservatives. And then they'll know better. They'll grow out of their liberal foolishness. You're being over the top. It's not an anti-white race. Yes, it is. It is an anti-white race hate agenda. And while a young liberal may or may not grow out of that, they're not the ones pushing the agenda. They're useful pawns in the agenda, but they're not the ones pushing it. Let's get on back to this story here. Ms. Ponsetto displayed outrageous behavior. As a black man, I have personally experienced racial profiling countless times in my life, and I sympathize with the young man victimized in this incident, Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg said in a statement on Monday. Sometimes, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse. I really do. He has this touching sympathy because, you know, he's a very well-paid Manhattan district attorney. But you see, he too has been victimized by white people having pattern recognition and noticing that blacks commit a whole lot of crime. There's a whole lot of blacks who are in jail and committing crimes, namely violent crimes, than there are black district attorneys. You know, I'm sorry. That's just how it is. But this is just sickening. I sympathize with the young man victimized in this incident. Really? Do you sympathize with all of the young black men who have been murdered in Chicago? Do you sympathize with the, 21 plus black people shot in Dallas within just the past month? Black people getting shot by black people. Do you have any sympathy for these young victims who are just trying to have a good time at an outdoor concert, but you see somebody disrespect somebody and gunshots ring out? Where's your sympathy for them? It's not sympathy. He doesn't have no sympathy for them. He don't care. It's just a chance to... He's made it to the point of high-paid Manhattan district attorney. He understands the game. You got to promote the anti-white race hate agenda. This is how you do it. This is how you get ahead in life. Doesn't have any sympathy for the victims of these shooting crimes, who are predominantly black, by the way. It amazes me. You point these things out. Okay, people like me, we point these things out. And we're always accused of racism and hatred. You hate black people. You're pointing out that they commit these overwhelming amount of violent crime, even though it is backed up by facts and government statistics. You're just a hater. You're promoting racism. Yeah. And yet the overwhelming victims of these crimes that are recorded in the government statistics are black people. We're pointing out that black people are overwhelmingly victimized by this crime. And that's racist. But you see, this guy, this asshole can come out here and spout a bunch of just nonsense about, oh, I really victimized with this young man who had a misunderstanding with a rude bitch. But then it was all resolved and should have been like an apology and everybody moved on. But he was a victim. I feel so much sympathy. Bullshit. We point out black crime. And in extension, you're also pointing out who are the victims overwhelmingly of this black crime. They're black people. But we get accused of racism and hatred. Now, I talked earlier about, you know, the Dallas shootings as a backdrop. This is what got my, you know, like I said, this is what got me going on picking this story to go with this week. I saw a story concerning, well, with a spike in crime. They're trying to tell people in Dallas that even though almost every night now they're seeing some story about, you know, black shooting up the place, that violent crime is actually down. Don't believe your lying eyes and ears. Violent crime Violent crime is actually down. Well, the Dallas police chief, he was before the city council, and he was talking about the concert shooting, I believe, because they had rented out, somebody had rented this out to these black people for this venue, and they were going to have their concert there. And, you know, like I say, no doubt, yeah, I'm sure they're looking for a motive when the motive is, you know, somebody done disrespected somebody. That's all the motive that's involved. Anyway, the police chief of Dallas, he's before the city council discussing this particular incident. And his answer, you know, because you always get, you know, like, they hire a new police chief for one of these crime-ridden shithole cities here in America. And it's always, you know, his number one job is going to be focusing on eliminating and reducing violent crime. While not arresting black people, because that would be racist. It's just, you know, you're going to get lied to. Because they come in and they say, we're going to reduce violent crime. We're going to reduce the murder rate. But at the same time, we're going to be addressing racism. And definitely not arresting black people. You can't have it one way or the other. It's like here in the U.S. on a national level, they're always talking about guns, you know? Oh, we're gonna pass some more gun laws. We're going to pass gun laws. I'd read a deal years ago that if you, it was something along, and I'm doing this off the top of my head, so if I'm a little off, don't, you know, just don't spur on me because the point remains. But I read a deal years ago and they said, you know, with all the guns we have, because it's funny, you read a story like on Daily Mail and all the British commentators are like, oh, you bloody Americans and your guns. Why don't you get rid of your guns and you wouldn't have any crime? You'd be living in a crime-free paradise like it is here in Britain. Oh, wait. Britain is not a crime-free paradise. It's quickly descending into third world shithole. Bloody hell. But they're always like, you Americans and your guns. And I read this thing, and they said, actually, even with all our guns, and we do, we got a bunch. Statistically, if you take black people out of the crime statistic, then you're leaving everybody else in. You're leaving the Mexicans in. You're leaving everybody else in. America per capita would have a crime rate just, I think it was slightly above that of Japan. But that sink in, even with the Mexicans and every, you know, whoever else comes here. If you eliminated black people from the statistics, we would just be slightly above Japan in a crime rate. If you eliminated everybody except for white people, we would be on par with or slightly below the crime rate of Japan. And yet we have these stories which are built and designed to reinforce the idea that we just can't figure out what the problem is, why we have these crimes and these shootings, because they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to address it. And, you know, and honestly, if they did, what are they going to do about it? You know, but still it'd be nice if they were honest. Now, back to the point, the Dallas police chief, I didn't forget where I was going with this. It was so, I had to sit there, I had to laugh. Dallas police chief, he's a front of the city council. Yep. We got all this black shooting other black people going on. And he says, we need you. I need you. City council got to take action. Stop this. And his idea, he says, is they need to pass city ordinance holding these landowners responsible. You see, the problem isn't that black people get together and start shooting each other. The problem is somebody rented out this venue to black people, and now they need to be able to be sued and held accountable because the people they rented it to wound up shooting each other. I had to laugh. This was his answer. And though it is funny and absurd, you can kind of understand why. I mean, he can't just come out and say, well, you know, I mean, we can arrest more black people and get them off the streets and the crime will go down. But y'all obviously don't want to do that. So, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. You know, he can't do that. He's got to pretend like this is such a complex issue. This is so complex. We have to figure this out. It's very difficult. It's a very difficult problem to solve. Well, I mean, not really. I mean, it is, but it isn't. We get it. You got to at least start with acknowledging what the cause of it is. But I did. I sat there and laughed because he says, oh, landowners is ridiculous. He says these landowners can rent a venue out and then not be held responsible when violence breaks out at the venue. Now, you let's say you got a place, you know, and it's you rent it out to people to hold events. And they pass an ordinance. They say they follow through, and they probably will. And they pass a law, a local law, that says if violence breaks out on, you know, on your property that you rent out to people, then you're legally held responsible. You're going to put you in jail or fine you or sue you or whatever the hell. You are legally responsible for the actions of the people you rent to. Now, you hold the venue. What's your reaction going to be? I better not rent to blacks. Right? If you're going to be legally held responsible for the, if violence breaks out, you're not going to want to rent to black people. But see, if you do that, then you're going to be held for some, you're going to be accused of discrimination. You're going to be held legally liable for that. All of this because we have to continue this fantasy. We cannot pretend, we cannot just address truth. We cannot address reality. We cannot say, well, you know, we don't know the answer of what we should do with it. We do know the problem. Blacks commit a lot of crime, a lot of violent crimes, predominantly against other black people. This is where we could start from in a position of truth. Black people commit a whole lot of violent crime, mostly against other black people, but also against Asians, white people, etc. But we could start from that. And then start working on the problem. But see, because we're not allowed to do that, nobody's allowed to do that, you have to come up with this absurdity. If you don't rent your venue to black people, you will legally be in trouble for discrimination and racism. If you do rent your venue to black people and they shoot the place up, which statistically says it's pretty likely, then you also will be held legally responsible. I mean, what the hell are you supposed to do? All because we can't admit, we can't speak the truth. Let's see what else the racially profiled wealthy black district attorney has to say. This plea ensures appropriate accountability for Ms. Ponsetto by addressing underlying causes for her behavior and ensuring this conduct does not reoccur. Ben Crump, a lawyer for the teen, said in a statement that it was highly disappointing that Ponsetto will receive only probation. I guess she should have got the death penalty for a misunderstanding. We won't change culture until we hold people accountable for their outrageously bad behavior, he said. This is a lot of nerve. In a culture that refuses, that now it is like official doctrine, is you're not allowed to hold black people accountable for their violent behavior. This person comes out and says, oh, yeah, we need to hold some woman accountable for her behavior over a misunderstanding. And, of course, with always the case for the media, see, they got to drag everything else out on you. See, they got to officially smear you through the mud. They dubbed her the Soho Karen. They gave her that title. And, of course, they got to find any other dirt they could find on her. The New York case piggybacks on a previous DUI case in California in which Ponsetto was serving probation and undergoing counseling. You see, you get to get the first part in. Now, a logical mind would say, well, what the hell does a DUI case in California have to do with this? It has nothing to do with it. So why did the media include it in the story? You know, why did the media make it a point to say she's white and she also has a DWI case? Was she drunk? Was she drunk when she falsely accused this young man of stealing her phone? I mean, if she was drunk, you could say, okay, well, she has an alcohol problem. She might, you know, need some more counseling or something. Get over that. No, it has nothing to do with it. But the media has to smear you through there. See, they have to finish the character assassination. I have nothing but utter contempt for the U.S. media. Ponsetto, a receptionist in Southern California, is grateful for the deal, her attorney, Paul D'Amelia, said. Again, she's a receptionist. You know, okay. Again, what does that have to do with it? I guess we're supposed to find out where she works. We got to make sure she gets fired. Quote from her attorney, we are pleased that today's proceeding brought this unfortunate misunderstanding closer to a final resolution, D'Amelia said in a statement. Maya Ponsetto has been leading an exemplary life since its incident with the young man close to a year and a half ago. Ponsetto hopes the victim accepts her regrets and apology for her behavior that evening, and that all involved can move forward, D'Amelia said. Ponsetto does not comply with the terms of probation. She could face a year and a half to 4 years in state prison, prosecutors said. A year and a half to 4 years if she slips up. She'd go to 4 years in prison for misunderstanding. And tell me again that there isn't an anti-white race hate agenda. Go ahead and tell me that that's over the top. That I'm reading too much into these things. It's just misunderstanding. It's just liberals being silly. They're just goofy. They don't get it. It's kind of immature. Typical deal. We have no justice. The justice system in this country is just garbage. Really is. And they sack something on here. You know, and so she's forced to plead guilty just to get it over with. She just wants to get it over with, move on with her life. They're offering her a deal. They're going to put her in jail. She can just get this behind her. But what's she guilty of exactly? I mean, really, what? Okay, she pled guilty to what now? Yep. I mean, it should be a big nothing burger. It's a misunderstanding. But she's forced to plead guilty. Otherwise, the full weight of the law will come down and they will keep her drug in court and threaten to put her in jail. That's if she can somehow, as a receptionist, not bankrupt herself paying attorney's fees. That's always the flip side of that. Attorney's fees. She's going to pay all these lawyer fees. If she went to fight it in court, she ain't going to have the money for that. And so you're left with what? You're left with, well, plead guilty. You at least won't go to jail. And maybe finally the media will leave you alone and you can move on your life. But you still got that on your record. Yeah. You had to plead guilty. All because the media picked you out to use for their anti-white race hate agenda. You're just the unlucky. You just drew the short straw. They're conditioning people to submit. It's an extension of the overall lie. You're not, when they tell you, you're not supposed to notice. And they tell you you're not allowed to notice. When they drag people like this woman out and make an example of them, they're telling you, this is another reinforcement of you must submit to the lie. You're not supposed to notice what your eyes are telling you, what you're reading. You're not supposed to notice the statistics, their own statistics. You have to submit. You have to submit to the lie. Anyway, well, we're going to wrap up on that note. We're going to wrap up your week on that note. Again, I hope you all had a good week, and I hope you have a great weekend. And be sure and tune back in next week for more of The Daily Nationalist right here on Radio Albion.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.